Welcome. I'm excited to be here. I'm always excited to be here on Sunday mornings, especially with the potential of lighting the Advent wreath on fire. Anyways, so we are in our third week, and you might be thinking, are we really in a new sermon series? And the answer is yes. So first of all, Bishop Keith, wrong bishop. See, I've been doing that bishop now for talking to him for 12 years or 20 years. So now I have to switch to Bishop Cliff in my head. So here we go. He was here three Sundays ago. So he said he left us with a blessing of three things. Sanctified imagination. He said, we believe in an amazing and awesome God. We need to ask him to help us dream big dreams. So we need to be praying about that. He also blessed us with the gift of prayer. He said we need to pursue deep, persistent prayer and fasting, because that will change not only our community, but will change our country. And thirdly, we need to make room for the Messiah. We need to make room in our hearts for the Lord to come and do what he desires to do in our life. And then last week, we had the best gift, and it looked like this. When Jesus came, he brought gifts with them, and those gifts were wrapped in shiny paper. And there's one. So we had the kids play last week, and they were just such a joy and a delight. Look at all of those shiny boxes. They did a great job. And so this week we are starting, oh yes, let me not get ahead of myself. So then when the kids went, then we sort of examined the gifts that Jesus brought for all of us. And one of them is forgiveness and then eternal life. He also brought living water. We will never get thirsty. Next, abundant life. Life that is to the full. Every need will be met. That's one of the promises that Jesus came to give us, that every need would be met. Next, conversation. The fact that he actually invites us into conversation, to talk with him, to ask him things. Next, compassion. He has compassion on us. He knows what we need, and then he meets us in those spots. He said that we would never be alone, and for some people that's one of their biggest fears, is that they would be alone. But Jesus said, with me, you will never be alone. There would be no fear. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give it as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid, because the peace that Jesus gives us, like, knocks out all fear. Healing. And that was one of the coolest moments. Like, wow, God, thanks. And then we prayed for people, those who needed a special touch from the Lord. We just said, if you want to come forward for healing, then you come on up and we'll pray for you. And that's what we did. And we say, thank you, God. We say, thank you, God, for that. So here we go. This is our third Sunday of Advent. And I'm going to check my fonts next time. We're looking at saying yes. And what does that mean, say yes? Well, first of all, are we saying yes to, you know, what our imaginations can think, or something in reality? So we better check out, because this is a real life Christmas series. And so what is real life? So I have a little Pinterest versus reality. So here we go. Gingerbread houses. They're always so nice on the, see, you're all laughing because you know it's true. Okay, what about this one? Meeting Santa for the first time. See? Parents are like, yes, I have those pictures. What about this one? Christmas dinner. I actually have walked into a house where the turkey was cooked to a crisp and I had to cook one very fast. What about this one? Stringing Christmas lights. You all have an idea in your head what they should look like, and then that's really what happens. All right? What about this one? Snowmen. Because you all have those snowmen in your front yard where you have used up all of the snow and there is nothing left but dirt. And for some reason, their shirts are like grass. Okay, for those of you that are studying, this is for you, studying with friends. Really, you think it's going to be around a table with a book, but that's not what you're actually doing. Okay, what about this one? Decorating your nails for the big party. You see it on Pinterest and it's all perfect, and then you try it yourself and you're like, ah, nuts. Okay, what about this one? Hot chocolate. We all want hot chocolate to look like that. And then it comes out like, oh, this one. Okay, go ahead. Yes, You all know. You all, parents, you know. This is reality, right? You think that the same shirt that you put on your child first thing in the morning will be the shirt that you take off them at the end of the day. That's not true. That's not true. In fact, I babysat my little cousin once, and I think I changed her shirt 4 times before snack at 10 o'clock. I'm like, how does this happen? Like, how hard can it be to get the food from your hand to your mouth? Like, really, it should just go in straight. It doesn't. Like, their space is off. Like, they just, anyway, so this is reality. And then this one, life, your plan, and then reality, right? We have this idea, like, of how to get to a place, and then we just take all sorts of dips and dives and boat rides and finally get to the place where we wanted to get. And that's real life. That's real life. So often we look at Facebook and we see their lives and we're like, wow, they have a really cool life. But we don't realize that they've been, you know, like, filtered, and then they've actually taken like 17 photos and they've picked the very best one to put on Facebook for everybody to look at. So, like, it's so important to know what is real and what is we hope would be real. But that's not often the case. And quite often our reality is something that we don't like to talk about because it's not pretty, or it's not perfect, or it's not really worthy to tell other people about. And yet it's our reality that other people want to hear. They want to hear that you had a week and that you're normal, that grief sneaks up on you in the strangest times. And for some reason, you just start crying at the look of a poster and you're like, I don't know what's wrong. And it's like, it's okay. It's okay. That's what people want. They don't want the bright, shiny, gift-wrapped perfection. They want real life. And that's something that we've been encouraging one another to do, is just share what's on your heart. Be real. Be real. And what's interesting is when we look at the birth of Jesus, this is often what we see filtered. Everybody's clean, smiling. There's often a glow. And the answer is this. We don't actually know what it was like, because we weren't there. We know Mary had a baby. We know Joseph was there. We know that there were animals around. And what's interesting is when we sing Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm. Really? I don't know. I've never had a baby. But from what I can tell, often in those first minutes after childbirth, everything is not calm. All right? And so yet, that's why I left the picture blank. Because we really don't know exactly what that situation was like. But for moms and dads, you can get a sense of it. You can get a sense of that joy, that especially the first-time parents, they're like, wow, and then like, wow. Like, what do I do with this little person? Like, they're crying, what am I supposed to do? And every little cry, you're there, like you're trying to fix it. And by the time you get around to the second and third child, you're like, yeah, they'll be fine. And you just continue on. Yes, said the second child. Anyways, all I wanted to know is how come my sister got the real diapers and real food, and how come I got, like, the cloth diapers and the stuff from the blender. That's what I want to know. Anyways, that's my reality. Next, so this is how the birth of Christ started. It started with a proclamation from an angel. It goes like this. In the 6th month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. It's like when your dad says, I need to talk to you. And you're like, what does Dad want? Thank you, Luke. That's excellent. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I'm going to say that again. For nothing is impossible with God. And then this is what Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. We have no idea how long it was between the angel said that line and Mary responded. We don't know if it was a second. We don't know if it was minutes. We don't know. I'm going to guess it wasn't an hour. But there it is. It doesn't even say she paused. It just, there's this immediate line that says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. So if we were to summarize this, it would go something like this. An angel appears to Mary, tells her she is going to have a baby, and even though she is a virgin, and Mary agrees. And Mary's life course is altered forever. Isn't it interesting? Angel shows up, tells her she's going to have a baby, even though she's a virgin, and Mary agrees. She believes the angel. So, we have a bit of a change of plans, because we all have plans. We all have plans, whether it's to go on a vacation or to finish school well or just to pass your courses, right? Maybe some of your plans are to have a good Christmas with everyone and nobody fighting. Maybe your plan is to save up for a house or to save up for a new car or to save up for your children's education or to retire at 55. We all have those dreams. And even if we don't have solid plans, we know the things that we would like to accomplish. And Mary probably did too. She wanted to get married, right? She was already engaged. She wanted to settle down because that's what people do. They like to nest. She wanted to have lots of children because that was the expectation of women in that era. And she wanted to raise and honor them to serve the Lord. Those were her hopes and dreams. And yet everything changed. So, next. So the consequences to following the angel's words. Because she said yes, remember? She said yes. So even though she had the dream of getting married, settling down, having children, and raising kids to honor God, it's quite possible that that yes would have changed every dream she ever had. So I want you to pause just for a moment in your head and think of the dreams that you have and how you would feel about that. If somebody came to you right now, a message from the Lord, and said, this is what I would like you to do, and then all of a sudden you start thinking of the things that means you can't do. It's a little scary. Because we have these hopes and dreams that we want. And then as soon as God, you know, sends a messenger, we're like, what does that mean for what I want? And for Mary, after she said yes, it very might have been the loss of her dreams, the loss of getting married. Because in that day and age, if you were found to be pregnant out of wedlock, even though you were engaged, as she was, Joseph had every right to stone her. She had had sex outside of marriage, which was illegal according to the law of the Lord. And so she was to be stoned. So her dream of being married, her integrity, and her life quite possibly would be taken away because she said yes to God. That's scary. Because she's 14, probably. She's young. Very young. And so, this is her reaction. I'm the Lord's servant. Because when you're the Lord's servant, it really doesn't matter what the consequences are. You just do it. And what's interesting is she was called highly favored. I can think of two other examples in the Bible where that term, favored by God, is used. One is Noah. And it says, Noah was favored by God. And what did God say? Go build an ark. And in between go build an ark, God gives him the directions. And this is what it says. And Noah did exactly what God asked him to do. He didn't ask what people were going to think. He didn't, you know, say, but God, people are going to think that I'm crazy. It hasn't even rained yet. You want me to build this boat? He just did it. And the second man that I can think of where favored was attributed to was a man by the name of Daniel, who was called to serve God in a foreign country. And when his view on what should happen during the day, which was pray to God, was taken away by the officials, Daniel said, I'm still going to pray. And he went into a lion's den. And then God brought him out, just like God brought Noah out of the ark. So these are, when they say, I am the Lord's servant, Mary knew what that meant, to honor God. Because you have to remember, she was raised in a Jewish home. So the things of the Lord had been talked about. The Torah had been discussed. She was a servant of God. She was a God follower. And so these thoughts are going on in her mind. So this isn't like some crazy thing where she's like, wow, this has never happened to anyone in the entire life. God doesn't ask you to do strange things. She knows that sometimes God asks us to do strange things. I just read about the prophet Micah this morning that was asked to walk around naked. That's really strange. But sometimes God asks us to do strange things. And are we willing to just say yes to what it is that he asks us? Or do we sit there and we literally say, well, then I can't do this, and I can't go to the store then, and I can't go to the movies with my friends, or I can't buy that house, because if I buy that house, if I do this what the Lord wants me to do, then I won't have the money to buy the house or the car or whatever. We often think about the cost to us rather than the cost to God and his kingdom. Next. So she trusted God. That W-H-Y question mark is why. She trusted God. She knew his character, and she knew what he was capable of. She knew the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. She knew the story of David and Goliath. She knew the story of Ruth. She knew these stories. She knew the character of God and that he was faithful. And she knew that if God was calling her to do something, that he would equip her to do it. So in my mind, when I think about how big was that pause between you are going to be with child and the may it be so, I actually think is quite small. Because her knowledge of who God was and his goodness to his people was so deeply ingrained in her that she didn't even have to question it. It was an immediate yes. So Mary had decided long before the angelic visitation that she would live her life to honor God, obeying his word and doing whatever he asked her to do. Mary was a God follower. So when it says she was highly favored, it's because she honored God. So when the angel showed up, she didn't even have to think about it. And the answer was automatically yes. So what did Mary know then? Well, Mary knew this. God has plans and purposes for her. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So she knew that God had plans and purposes for her. She's like, okay, God's going to work this out. I got this. Secondly, God would look after her. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade and at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. So not only did she believe and know in her knower that God had plans and purposes for her, but God also would watch over her, as he had done to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel, Daniel 3, or to Daniel in chapter 6, or to Noah, or to David. Are so many people that decided to say yes to God. And thirdly, Mary knew that if she honored God, God would honor her. I love this verse from 1 Samuel. It says, those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. And then Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So Mary knew that if you put God first, he will work everything out. that truth has not changed. The truth hasn't changed. If you put God first, He will work everything out. If you put God first, He will work everything out. Because Mary knew God, Mary could trust God, so Mary said yes. Because Mary knew God, Mary could trust God, so Mary said yes. It's about knowing God. And some of you are thinking, but I don't know God very well, so I don't trust Him very well. That's okay. I said to a friend a few weeks ago, she's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I said, God will give you something to do in the next few minutes. Just do it. Whether it's showing kindness to someone or buying someone coffee at Tim Hortons. I don't know. But within the next 5 minutes, God always brings someone to us, or there's a thought that goes in our mind, and maybe we need to pray for someone. But God is always talking to us. We just have to be faithful with the next 5 minutes. So when we think about saying yes to God, often we think about the big, like, I'm going to become a missionary, or I'm going to become, you know, I'm whatever you are, an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer, and I'm going to go to South America or to Africa or to Australia, because, you know, maybe God's calling you to Australia, and I'm going to serve Him there. We often think that's when we say yes to, but no, you say yes in the kindness that you show to someone Sunday morning. You say yes to God when you extend kindness by opening a door for someone. You say yes to God when your child comes in and you're so tired and you're like, I'm going to love you. It's much easier to say, go read a book, but I'm going to engage with you. That's what it means to say yes to God. Whatever it is that He puts before us, how, because often He tests us with the small things to know if He can test us with the big things. Because He already knew Mary was going to say yes because of her character that she had shown so far. Next. So what might hinder us? We think that if we live to serve God like Mary, then He'll ask us to do things that will make us unhappy. I actually had someone tell me, God better not send me to Africa. I'm like, please don't say things like that, because often He wants to. But as soon as you say, I hope God never asks me to, then you actually block the Holy Spirit from moving in your life. It says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. So as soon as we say, I'll do anything for God, but don't. Pray this prayer instead. Dear Lord Jesus, I really don't want to do this, but because You've called me to, I will. I believe that whatever You called me to, You will help me get through because You're calling me. Just like Moses didn't think that he could lead the Israelites, God equipped him. Secondly, His plan won't be as good as ours. That's often a fear because we don't really understand how big and awesome God is. So if we say yes to God, giving up our own dreams, then how could He possibly make our life good? Or what about this third one? You'll never get to follow your own dreams. Maybe you'll never get married. Maybe you'll never have children. Maybe you'll never finish that degree. Maybe you'll never get that home or that boat or whatever it is, dot, dot, dot. And those are reasons that people actually use to avoid doing what God has asked them to do. And then this is what I hear them say to me. How come God's not speaking to me? How come I'm not feeling God's presence? How come I don't know what to do? And I said, what was the last thing God asked you to do? And they tell me, I'm like, have you done it? And they're like, no. Well, God's not going to give you a new marching order until you do what He's asked you to do. So you're actually going to be put on pause. And He'll let you go around and around and around and around until you say yes. Or else your heart gets very, very hard. And you become very dark on the inside. Mary said yes. A 14-year-old girl in a Palestinian culture 2,000 years ago said yes to the biggest thing that could change her life. And she changed the world. She changed the world. Next. This is the fallout of her choice. Because she had purposed in her heart to honor God, God used Mary to deliver Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who we sang about today, to this earth. And God did give her the desires of her heart. Did she marry Joseph? Did she marry Joseph? Yeah. Did she go on to have more kids? Yeah. Did they actually grow up to serve and honor God? We believe they did. We believe that it's quite possible that James, who wrote the book of James, is her son. We believe that Jude, who wrote the book of Jude, is her son. So it's interesting, when her hopes and dreams would be to get married, to settle down, to have children, and they would grow up to honor God, God more than met her expectations. More than met her expectations, but she had to be willing to say no to everything else first. And then God came in, because that's what God does. He waits to see if we're going to trust him enough. Just go back to Aladdin, okay? Go back to Aladdin where he reaches down to Jasmine and he's on the carpet ride. And he reaches down and what does he say? Do you trust me? And she looks at him and she gets on and she goes for this wonderful carpet ride that she never would have experienced unless she said yes. So Mary says yes to God and goes on this amazing adventure that didn't always have sunshine and roses, because it was prophesied that she would grieve in her innermost being. She watched her son be crucified, but she also saw him rise again. Mary said yes. So, this is what she said. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. And they have. They have. Even before it's happened, she knew that because she said yes, that people would know what she had done. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost beings, inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. She glorifies God, even though she hasn't even had the baby yet. She praises his name, trusting that he's going to do amazing things because he's faithful. Because he's faithful. So what's our response to this? The question is, what is God asking you to say yes to? Like, is he tapping you on the shoulder to go help out with Awana? Is he tapping you on the shoulder to volunteer at your public school? Or to take a week of vacation and do a mission work somewhere? Or maybe he's actually calling you to sell your house and get a smaller house so you don't have so much debt, so you're actually released to do things for God with that extra money. Because some of you are house poor. And you can't do anything that God actually wants you to do because you have this house and it's a weight around you. Or maybe God is simply asking you to go talk to your neighbor who just is struggling in his marriage. And you're like, but God, what will they think of me? Stop asking the question, what will they think of me? If God has called you, just do it and trust him. Just trust him. Don't allow fear to creep in. So as the worship team comes up, I want you to think about that question. What is God asking you to say yes to? And we're just going to be quiet for a minute. I'm not even going to pray. But as Marty comes and the team comes and we have this moment of silence, and the prayer rails will be open, and Maria will invite you to come forward. Then you come. If you want to intercede for someone, then you come. If you have your own need, then you come. But the prayer rails are open and available at all times. And church family, you come forward and you lay your hands on people if God's poking you to. Because that's what we are. We're family. We come around one another when we need to. So we're just going to take a moment of silence, and then Marty will start. And so let's just be quiet.